Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, April 28th, 2019. Pastor Paul Tolbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
In just a moment, you're going to be seeing again on the slides a little movie. And it's just actors who are letting you see what it probably looked like when it happened on that very first time, the very first time when Jesus appeared to Thomas. Because that's what we're going to be looking at today.
One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord."
"Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands, and put my finger on those scars, and my hand in his side, I will not believe."
A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them.
"Peace be with you. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe."
"My Lord and my God."
"Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?
In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life."
Go back to that first room and think about the emotions that are going through the disciples right now. First time Jesus appears, and then they go for a whole week, and they're trying to tell Thomas that Jesus is alive again. And he says, "I'm not going to fall for that. No way, Jose. You guys are just loopy." And those women, they're loopy too. "You guys are just crazy. You know, the angels just don't pop in and out. Somebody must have taken the body somewhere. You didn't hear that rumor." Inside that room was a whole bunch of doubt. "I don't believe God." There's a whole bunch of anger in that room. Who are they angry at? Well, they're angry at the Romans because they killed. And they're angry at the Romans because they have no freedom. They're angry at each other. "Peter, how come you didn't stand up? You said you're going to stand up until you died. John, how come you ran away?" They're angry at each other. They're afraid. Why are they afraid? What if they come and knock down the doors and take us away and crucify us? But most of all, they are just crushed. I don't know if you've ever been in a dark place like that, where there is, in your head, you think there is no hope because hope died. They saw Jesus, who is the living hope. They saw him crucified. They saw him died, wrapped up quick, shoved in a tomb, not even a proper burial. They were crushed because on him they had placed their hope of living forever in heaven. So if he is dead, that means they have their sin yet. There is no hope for them. I don't think you and I have ever been in that dark of a place. You may have been, in which case you really, really appreciate that good news of Jesus Christ when he gives this wonderful command, peace. The war is over between God and you. Jesus steps in and says, peace. Hey, notice, no one asked him to come in. Nobody was expecting him to come in. Everyone was angry and doubting and all frustrated. And what happens? Jesus just comes in uninvited and he says, peace. God is on your side. He took out all of the anger against you. He took it out on me, and I willingly paid the whole price. There's not a single thing more to add to what I've done. And he's showing you that because I'm standing here in front of you. You don't believe me here. Touch me. See, a ghost does not have flesh and bones like you see I have. He sat down and had some fish and chips with them. And they're just amazed. Their mouths are dropping open. Then when Thomas comes along, he walks right across the room, comes to Thomas, he says, Thomas! And he uses Thomas's own words against him. Take your finger. See this? Put it into the scars. Go ahead. Take your hand, stick it in my side. Stop your doubting. That's just how Jesus is. He calls us up short on the things that we need to be called short on. When you and I have our doubts about our Lord, and you're reading his word, sometimes it just really stings, doesn't it? It stings because you and I know that we are by nature just like Thomas. We don't believe God's word. We don't think that God is actually in control. There are times when our faith is so flickering. When those Christians gathered for worship in Sri Lanka, and a wicked person blew them up, what was the thought that went through your mind? When that wicked person walked into a synagogue in California and started killing people, what was the thought that went through your mind? For some people, the thought goes through their mind, where is God? God is obviously not in control. He doesn't know what's going on. But God does know what's going on. We know that because even on the cross, when all hope is being ripped away from him, God the Son still kept a strong faith. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up his life for us. So he says, this victorious Lord, he walks out of the tomb. Can you imagine this? Think. You and I, we're looking at the end of our life. We see a tombstone. I see a casket, maybe a little box in which your ashes are placed. And you're thinking, well, that's the end. No, it's not. Jesus' life proves that you and I are going to live again because he says, because I live, you also will live. Followers of the false god Allah cannot say that. Muhammad is dead. Followers of Buddha can't say that because Buddha's dead. Followers of the Hindu gods can't say that because their gods are non-existent. We serve the only one who has an empty tomb because he's alive again. And that makes all the difference in the world because if Jesus is alive, that means every promise of God is yes in Jesus Christ. So when you and I go to God the Father and we say, you know, I remember that promise that you gave in your word in Romans, not to give me too much, but with every kind of crushing burden, you would give me the strength to either carry it or you would find a way for me to get out. I think I'm in one of those places, Lord. So either give me strength or give me a way out. Keep your promise. The Lord loves it when we talk to him like that. The Lord loves it when we gather together and we pray for one another and encourage one another. And whether that's here with people you can see or people in our invisible congregation who are online, wherever they might be in the world, the Lord wants us to pray for each other, to come to our Heavenly Father's throne of grace and say, you know, I have peace. My sins are gone. In just a few moments, we're going to be gathering together to receive the Lord's Supper. It's an unusual thing. Because God joins himself to bread and wine to give us peace. That you can see, you can touch, you can taste God's incredible forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's really good news. And that's too good to keep to yourself. In this world is full of trouble. Share the peace in his name. So let us live. Amen.